Welcome back to Pancreas Pals,
a podcast by diabetics for diabetics.
I'm Emily, a writer and editor.
And I'm Miriam, a licensed mental health counselor.
We're just two women trying to live our best diabetic lives.
While it might not always be easy due to the literal highs and lows,
it always helps to have a Pancreas Pal to turn to. Hey guys, Emily here, and this week's special guest is none other than Charlotte Jury. Welcome, Charlie. Charlotte, she's a person of many, many names. Welcome.
Call me whatever you please.
Yes, well, those are the two. Don't worry, I won't be calling you.
Said babe.
Yeah.
Honey.
Definitely, definitely honey. I'm feeling honey. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Charlie or Charlotte, whichever name we're going with today, is a type 1 diabetic and former Olympian, which is something that is exciting to even say in the same sentence. Probably not for you because you were diagnosed with type 1 kind of during a lot of this. But right off the bat here at Pancreas Pals, we like to jump into diagnosis stories. So let's hear yours if you're comfortable sharing.
Absolutely. It's quite the tale. And I feel like the more I tell it too, the more I realize that everybody has quite the tale and they're really interesting stories. But for me, obviously I lived it. So I was like, this is everything. This is terrible. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
I mean, it's not, let's put things in perspective, but like it is when it's happening, you are dying. Right. That's what it
right.
is.
So, seriously, very, yeah. Very seriously, very ill. But yeah, it took me a really long time to realize that I was very ill. So it was I was diagnosed in April of 2021. And the first time I realized that like life was getting a little bit harder was June of 2020. So it was like knee deep in the pandemic. I'm training for the Olympics. That was supposed to happen next month. Now the Olympics are postponed, which was like a whole mental gymnastics, pardon the pun. But oh, like
for those who don't know, Charlie does gymnastics. That was her Olympic sport, but not the yes. not the floor routines of I can't, I don't even know any of
yeah, I'm no dancer, no beam routine, no bars. I did trampoline. So it was just one event. But yeah, I was trampoline, but I did artistic gymnastics forever. I did it for like 10 years and then I quit and started trampoline. So that's a whole nother.
We could do a whole podcast on your career and the fact that you're also like, how old are you? 23?
Seven.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Why did I think you were 23? Okay. We all need our skincare routine, but also I'm deceased. Someone did that to me the other day and I was like, I'm 30. Anyways.
It feels good.
Yeah. We're starting to not care. Anyways. Okay. Back to the diagnosis story.
Oh, right. So diabetes, right. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm on it. Okay. So Olympics are postponed. That's tough. That's already difficult. I'm training alone. It's me and my coach in the gym. We're training in complete isolation. I have no teammates. We've got no national team camps coming up. We have no competitions. I'm like, of course, life is getting harder. Life is getting harder for everybody. I struggle with depression. Of course, I'm getting depressed. Of course, I'm having a hard time getting out of bed. Of course, I'm having a hard time getting through a practice. And then that just kept getting worse over the next couple of months. I remember like having a moment of like, good God, like I'm so weak. I just need to keep working harder. When I was like watching my teammates, when they finally came back into the gym, probably like November time period. And they were starting the warm up and I was sitting on the floor, like watching them running. And I was like, I can't do it. Like I have no strength in my body. I'm exhausted. I feel terrible. I've been cutting back on workouts because I can't even get through them. And that made me feel even worse. And then not to mention that I was like secretly going into my fridge in the middle of the night and like scarfing down cookies and cupcakes and anything that I could get my hands on because I was starving, but couldn't explain it because I was like, well, I'm not working out as much. I'm not as strong as I was. I don't have any of the muscles that I used to have. You need to stop eating so much. Like,
it's
this
so
is why you're getting so
symptoms. Yeah.
Girl, I'm like a professional gaslighter for myself at this point.
I mean, like, we literally have a podcast about it. But were you also like Because I know for me, one of the biggest signs was having to pee constantly. And I'm curious, when you're a professional athlete and hydration is so important, how does that even stand out to you? Like, did you have that?
That only stood out to me in literally the last couple of weeks before I was diagnosed. So before that, I had my whole life, I've always just been like a water drinker. I always would have my water bottle close during practice. Like I would take a sip after every turn. I always kind of felt like my mouth was dry. And so I was always drinking way more water than my teammates. That was like a lifelong thing. So I didn't notice that I was drinking more water until the last couple of weeks before I was diagnosed. And I would get up to pee in the middle of the night. And I was like, that's new. Never done that in my life. But
It's
like,
the, did your hair stand up on your arms, like having to pee so bad? That was
yes,
like my thing. And
yes. I
I,
would
that,
literally get like shivers.
yes, exactly. I think that, I do think that that only happens towards the end. You know what I mean? Like really close to when, because, you know, when you think about it, you're going into diabetic ketoacidosis, right? DKA. And that's when your blood turns acidic. And that's like the biggest, that's the end sign of something's up. And that's usually what people go into when they discover they have a type one, or in some severe cases, type two. But yeah, sorry to interrupt you on your journey. So
No,
you.
that's such an interesting point too, because one of the like red flags I had, not even a red flag, a yellow flag in my head that I didn't even think about until like months after I got my diagnosis was we used to get drug tested all the time, like random drug tests. Somebody would show up at our house in the morning and
Be an Olympian.
that's it. Oh, to be in elite sport.
Yeah, it's not just
But
Olympians, I guess. Yeah.
me and Debbie, we go way back. She's been my drug tester since I was like 15. And so
What a sentence. Been a drug
like
tester since I was 15.
me, this like super straight edge, massive fear of authority, little girl getting drug tested like once a month. So fun fact, we all get drug tested very frequently. And one of the facts or facets of the drug test is that you have to measure like the there's a word for it, but it's basically like the density of your urine, like how much particulate is in your urine to make sure that they can get a
Interesting.
sample out of it. And for
Right.
me, I was always like really hydrated. So like my pee is basically clear. We're always checking it. Sometimes I would have to give like two samples. Not out of the like norm for me. She comes and I get drug tested and I think it's like October of 2020. And I had had the flu. I'm making air quotes because I don't know what it was. But I had the flu and I was like vomiting all night long and very, very ill. Hadn't eaten in like 24 hours, was drinking like liquid IVs to like put something in me. And then the next morning I wake up and Debbie's at my door and I'm like, wow, that's just phenomenal. Thank God you're here. And she comes and I get drug tested or whatever. And she like measures the specific gravity of your urine. Wow, any doctor or like science person who's watching this is probably like, finally, she said the word, it's specific gravity.
I've literally never heard these things, so you're good. Because it's all about me.
Cool. It's fine. It's fine. I'm here to educate, and
You,
that's my
thank
only
you.
mission.
We love an educated pal, truly.
So Debbie's measuring the specific gravity of my urine, and I can't remember the numbers, but like, she was like, this is absurd. This is a crazy high amount of particulate in your urine. And I was like, but it's clear. And she's like, yeah, I know. I don't get it. And we're like, okay, well, we'll file that away for another time, I guess.
That's so wild. Wait,
And
so was it because of the
then,
glucose?
yes, it was sugar in my pee or glucose in my pee. And she comes back in February, I think, maybe January. And same thing. She's like, I've never seen a number this high. And I explained it away. I was like, well, I had the flu last night. I'm clearly very dehydrated.
Right.
Like, who knows what's going on in my body right now? The next time she comes, though, she's like, I just like remember I'm like leaning in my kitchen waiting for her like finish all like the testing stuff that she can has to do before she can leave. And she's telling me again, she's like, maybe you should go to the doctor. Like one time I tested this volleyball player and or somebody I knew tested this volleyball player because like women test women and men test men. And he was like, he had a very high specific gravity of his urine and turned out he had like early stages of prostate cancer.
Oh my
And
God.
I know. So I was like, you know what, Debbie? I should probably
Wow.
go to the
Debbie,
doctor.
way to scare the shit out of everyone. But, like,
I
honestly, I'm glad she's advocating for your health.
Yeah.
Like,
So
thanks,
now I'm on a
Debbie.
mission to educate every single person in USADA that if their specific gravity is too high, they need to go to the doctor. Not
What's
really, but I
USADA?
probably should. Oh, the United States Anti-Doping Association.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Administration, our governing
Association.
body,
Okay.
something of those.
I
Is
don't
there a
know.
fact check at the end of this?
No, but now I feel like there should be, but mostly it will be fact checking me because I just confidently say wrong things all the time. Like it's my job,
That's
which is
okay.
horrible
That's
when
good.
you're a
That's
journalist.
good.
Like that's not something you should do. But not the pancreas pals is journalism, but anyway, my
No,
day
hard-hitting
job.
journalism. This is
Hard
what I'm here
hitting.
for.
Wait, so that's wild though. So the particulates in your urine were elevated consistently because of the glucose, but it hadn't really kind of transcended. Just it was kind of just in that area of your life, like things weren't adding up yet.
They weren't adding up. I knew. So I had at that point, like come like 2021, I had like weird symptoms kind of all around, but then I can explain them all away. Like I had
Right.
a really bad concussion in 2020 or
That's
2019.
horrible.
That took so long to heal. So like the dizziness and the brain fog and like
Right.
the perception changes that happened for me when my blood sugar is really high, I was like, well, it's my concussion symptoms coming back. And then I was like, well, I'm really tired and I can't get out of bed. There's my depression coming back. Let me go back to my psychiatrist. Like all of the other things. And it's like, oh, I can't train as well. I can't bounce as high. I'm not as strong as I was. Well, I'm getting older. Maybe I've passed my prime,
My God,
even though
tell
I'm
me
23.
that being a professional sports person is good for your psyche. Wow.
Oh,
Being
yeah,
past your
right?
prime at like, wait, so this all happened though. 2021 was 3 years ago. So this happened when you were like 24.
Yes, I was 24.
Okay.
Yeah,
Maybe that's
24.
why I thought
24,
you
25.
were. That's okay. I remember you telling me, Charlie and I have met before in person once. And I think you told me about your diagnosis. And that's why I just, in my mind, you were still 20, 23, 24. Anyways,
That's okay. We can keep it there. For everybody listening, I'm 24.
I honestly, my boyfriend and I, like to say that everything, like we're still in 2020, like 2019, like it doesn't
I
count until COVID's
can't.
like officially gone, which it won't ever be.
It won't
But
ever be.
no.
I feel that. I feel like my sense of identity was like solidified in 2019, 2020, and I just have yet to move on from there.
Oh, for sure.
Like
Well, it's
I'm gonna turn
trauma.
28. It, you know what? It's the trauma.
It's the trauma and it's the shared trauma, but it's also extra traumatic because you were diagnosed with this, like,
God.
life-changing disease in the middle of a pandemic while also learning more about how horrible COVID is for people with types of diabetes. And you know, that must have been incredibly traumatic. But I really do think that a lot of us, I think if you don't have a little bit of trauma coming out of COVID, like something's not
Yeah.
right. You haven't
Then you
processed.
weren't paying attention.
Yeah. Or you just don't care, which is another issue.
Yes,
But not for me
entirely.
to diagnose. Anyways. So you find out at what point? So this was in February, January or February, that Debbie's like, "Hey, your pee's still a little whack, even though you're good. You're not doping, but like something's up. Maybe you should get this
Yeah,
checked
no
out."
drugs,
Yeah.
but you should
So.
probably go to the doctor. And she did mention the word diabetes. She mentioned she was like, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be diabetes, it could be this. And I was like, okay. And then I remember like a couple weeks later, starting to like the penny is not dropped yet, but the penny is like getting pushed towards the edge. Like I'm
Yeah.
starting to get there. And I was like sitting on the counter one night talking to my partner, and I was like, I think I have diabetes. Like, what if I did? How crazy would that be? Because also crazy thing, like in her life, her dad has type 2, and at this time they had just done this like advertisement for this like type 2 diabetes drug. So like we were just weirdly in the diabetes world for this like hot
It
minute.
targets you. It targets all of
It targets
us.
you. It comes at you. The universe says, I'm
Well,
coming for you.
also, it's definitely targeted marketing, like
Yes.
your Instagram heard you say
My Instagram knew
diabetes.
I was diabetic before I
Oh, I
did.
fully think Google knows. Google knows everything. They know when we're gonna die one day. I'm convinced.
Okay, I'm gonna circle back to that because I want to hear more.
I totally just came up with this on the spot. I'm gonna get committed like tomorrow. I don't really think that, but I do think that our devices listen, and I do know from a tech perspective that things are listening and it's not always bad. It's not always good, but you have to
No,
turn things on and
I
off on your devices because, you know, that's
yeah.
life. I sound like one of those 5G people. I swear I'm not. I need to edit all of this out. Okay, back to.
Back. So then
I'm dead.
so then I Well, I had this like kind of moment of like saying, I think I have diabetes. And then I had to go to straight to a national team camp. And it was our first camp back. And we were all supposed to be like on top of our game. We have our first Olympic trial in like 3 weeks, a month. And so everybody is like honestly like kicking ass at this camp. And I couldn't do my easy version of my routine. Like we had to show routines and I was embarrassed. Like I was embarrassed to show up at this camp.
Well, so you're what's the word? Your routine, if you will, it's all on the trampoline, and that requires a lot of energy. Not that any of these don't, but I'm assuming the trampoline, I mean, how many hours are you jumping on this trampoline? And like what?
So many hours.
And like
So
it
many
just
hours.
that probably also kind of saved you a little bit because
I fully believe that if I hadn't been working out so much, that I would have just like
your
been
glucose would have
kaput.
just been so for those that are pancreatically capable, first of all, mazel to you. Second of all, it, you know, with exercise kind of speeds up any insulin that may be still in your system and kind of delivers it to all the cells. I'm butchering this, but basically can help you lower or stave off a high blood sugar. So when you aren't getting added insulin in your body, and for those with type 1 diabetes, for the most part, you are no longer able to produce insulin. So whatever insulin you have in your body is either what, you know, your honeymoon phase, what little bit is being secreted from your pancreas, or in most cases, you're done. You're donezo, which is really kind of when DKA sets in and when your blood turns acidic and everything kind of starts shutting down. So if you don't have any, you're not getting any insulin into your system. But if you're constantly working out, this is not a solution because it will bad things will happen either way. You need to get checked out, but it kind of prolongs the process a little bit. And it, or it might, obviously, like no one body is the same. So you're doing these intense workouts, and which are you losing weight at this point?
So that's the other thing that's really weird about my diagnosis is no, I was gaining weight.
I didn't lose any weight, and I am like, trigger warning. I know this is like my own horrible psyche here, but like I was like, I couldn't even get that. Like, come on.
God, for fuck's sake.
I'm
Come
like,
on. I
out of
didn't even
all the,
come
like,
out skinny on the other end.
yeah,
This
I'm
is
like,
really messed up. Anybody listening, don't take this as a joke, but like, come on.
literally, no. I mean, okay, listen, I'm from the South, and being skinny was equated to being happy and being beautiful and all these things that I don't necessarily at all think these days. But also,
Absolutely.
this was like early 2000s, 90s, whatever. Actually, no, I was diagnosed in 2014, so that was like just a lie. But
But that's still toxic. Like, that's toxic Tumblr, internet culture,
yeah, exactly.
magazines, Cosmopolitan, all these things.
Yeah.
Skinny, 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 skinny.
Yeah, work. I did not say that. I work for the same company as Cosmopolitan, so
I didn't
I
say
need to
that
edit
at
that
all,
out.
actually.
But
Beep.
yeah, no, listen, no, as long as it's not me, you, this is free speech. But I mean, listen, like my thought process at 20 years old when this was happening, also that's like one of the key signs of diabetes. So it's also easy to explain stuff away when you're not getting one of those key symptoms. But it just goes to show you that it can still be this thing. You need to advocate for yourself. So this has been the longest you know, diagnosis story I think we've ever done because I keep interrupting you. But
No, it's okay. It's a long story. I drag it out as
no.
well.
I have interrupted you like at least 7 times. So
And
this,
we're all better for
I don't know. Don't lie. Don't lie to the people. They know. They know. They can hear. But okay, so you're at this camp and you are like something ain't right and you're not losing weight and you're dying literally and
Yes. I mean, I
figuratively.
look unwell. Like, if
Yeah.
I go back and I look at photos of myself at that time, like, my hair is brittle. Like, I have eczema and psoriasis all over my
And you look a
skin.
little
Like,
paler,
I
a
look
little
pale,
sunken. Yeah.
very sunken, very pale.
The eyes are always sunken, and you look back and
The
you're like,
eyes
damn,
tell.
that should have been, you know, a
I was
heads
like,
up.
whoa, how is no one looking at me? Because it's so gradual, but like, how is nobody looking at me and being like, you're unwell?
Right. And
So.
then you hear Nick Jonas's story, and he's like, everyone knew I looked like I was so skinny. And I'm like, wow.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah, that's we must not have the same disease. I don't know.
No.
But
Nope, couldn't be
so
me.
at what point did you finally get your diagnosis?
Okay, so I flew home from that camp and I remember being on the plane and the penny finally dropped. I was like, there's no way. I have been working so hard. I have been trying so hard. I have been trying my 100%. And if this is what my outcome is, I can't do things right now that I was able to do when I was 12 years old. Like,
Right.
I am nowhere near, the math ain't mathing. If I'm putting in 100%, I got to be getting out a little bit more than this. Penny
Right.
finally drops, and I go, something is wrong with me. Something is fully well and truly wrong with me. I'm sick. And I go to the doctor, and we get my blood work done. And she, or the next day, so I go home, call her, go into the office, get my blood drawn, go to practice. And I'm at gym, and then I'm driving home. It's like 6 p.m. And I get a missed call from the doctor's office, and I missed it. I'm driving. I was like, okay, I'll call back tomorrow. And then they call me again, and it's like 6:15 now, and I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know a lot, but I do know that when you get two calls after hours from your
Yeah,
doctor in a
it's
row,
you gotta call
news
back.
ain't good. News
Yeah.
ain't good. So I pick up the phone, and she basically, and like, not to draw it out, was like, all right, do you know what an A1C is? And I was like, no. So she explains it to me. And she was like, normal range is up to like 5 point something,
It's 5.6, I
5.5
think. 5.5. Anything
5.6.
above 5.5 is, yeah.
Got it. Okay. I've definitely spread misinformation on that.
No, so anything
5.5.
5.6 to 6.4 is considered pre-diabetes.
Okay.
Again, I'm
I don't know
confidently
where.
saying something that could be very wrong. So we should fact check this here. Okay, I'm gonna Google. You don't worry about it. I'll Google while
Okay,
you.
I'll continue. You Google.
Yeah.
She tells me the numbers that we're gonna have up here momentarily. And then she's like, okay, so then your A1C is 14.6. And I was like, okay, so what does
Oh
that
my
mean?
God, you were 14.6?
Yeah, girl, I
Okay.
was high.
Okay, so here's the A1C, which is an estimate, and anything that is, okay, this can't be right. This one says 5.7.
So, okay, wait, no, I thought it was 5.7. And I
Okay,
was like, well,
apparently it's
I've been
right.
telling people it's
Wow. No,
5.7.
I've been telling everyone the wrong thing. Okay, so anything fi greater than 5.7, 5.7 to 6.4 is considered pre-diabetic, and that
Okay.
is, in my opinion, a term that's most often used for people who end up being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes or another form of diabetes that's not typically type 1. There are other forms like MODY. And then anything that is greater than 6.4 is considered diabetic. Now, when you are in, your 20s, don't have a family history, and I'm assuming they probably tested you for some other markers of type 1, like other proteins and things that can. Maybe not proteins. I know Mike is going to be listening and he'll be like, you butchered everything here.
Yeah,
But
that's
just
okay. Dr.
food for
Mike, he's our
thought.
fact checker.
Yeah, he's really not though. He's like too busy like saving lives.
God forbid.
So God forbid. So for just to put things in perspective here, a A1C of 10% roughly translates to a blood sugar, blood glucose of 240. So if your A1C was 14, it had to have been in the 300s consistently, which means you probably, like, I cannot believe that this, I mean, listen, this can, that's an average of 2 to 3 months. So it could have been like in the 180 to 230 range for like 6 weeks, and then boom, in like the 500s for like two. You never really know.
It could have been, but so my first endocrinologist was a nightmare. He was
Retweet.
terrible,
Same.
terrible. And so my doctor calls me that night and she says, you need to come in first thing in the morning. Doesn't give me any more information than that. Doesn't tell me to go to the hospital. Doesn't, there's so many things that went wrong in the next coming
We
week that
love a
I'm
red
like,
flag. Love a red flag.
goodness. I share this story kind of frequently in the diabetes space. And when I say that I slander this medical care team
Oh,
for
head back
the
to season one,
way.
episode one. Oh no, I'm already running out of time. I'm gonna have to generate another
Oh
one for
shoot.
us.
Okay.
Because I've
That's
interrupted
my
you so
bad.
many times. It's not
No,
your bad, Charlie. It's not
I'm a
your bad.
talker.
No, it's me. It's the problem. I'm the problem. It's me. I didn't mean to quote Taylor
Okay.
Swift.
But we all love it.
Okay, so we're slandering your doctor. So
Oh yeah, I slander him
basically,
frequently.
she lets you go, continue about your day when your A1C is 14. And I mean, I'm no doctor, as we've all established, but you could drop into a coma at any
Any
moment.
moment,
Yeah.
any moment, any moment. And if I think about that too
And you were
much, it
driving.
and I was driving. I actually luckily had pulled over because I knew before I got that call I was like kind of close to my freeway exit, so I got off my freeway exit and then I just like pulled over on the side of the freeway,
Yeah.
not at my apartment yet. And
Very
like I
safe
had this
driving.
feeling.
Look at
Thanks.
you. If you get
Thank
like a
you.
really stressful or important call, definitely pull over. I
Pull
love
over.
that. Not that
Pull
you
over.
got
We'll all
diagnosed,
be
but
better for it.
yeah.
But it was almost like kind of a, I don't want to use the word premonition, but it was very like, I know something's wrong with me and I know she's about to tell me
It
what.
was a sign, yeah.
It was a sign. Yeah. Like the car, like the stars were aligning. I knew, you know.
Well, you've also been putting this puzzle together for months, whether you knew it or not. Like, and at some point, you got to listen to your body. And I mean, as a professional athlete, it's kind of like I imagine you're constantly listening to your body, but so many of these things, like you already explained, can be explained away. Like, I was a freshman in college when I was diagnosed, and or no, I was a sophomore when I was officially diagnosed. I was misdiagnosed for like a year and a half. And I was explaining away all of my symptoms as like, oh, it's, I'm new to a dining hall. It's got to be just really salty food, or I must not be drinking enough water, or like my roommate's alarm keeps going off. That's why I'm so exhausted all the time, or so stuff that really obviously looking back, like, yeah, okay, that explains like a one-off situation, not like a year of my life. But it's you look back, you finished that camp. I finished my freshman year. I didn't miss any classes, and I literally was so ill. You were so ill. You were on a flight. I can't imagine flying while like all of
And I
that.
had eaten a perfect bar, drank a Gatorade, and had an applesauce fruit pouch because I was so hungry on that flight. And I was like, good God. The things that I look back on that I was eating, and I was like,
Yeah.
because you get those starvation cues because your body's not getting
Right. It's not
any
getting the
energy.
nutrients. Yeah.
Your cells are getting nothing. And I had a lot of shame over that in that like year. Like I have a history of disordered eating just from sport, being obsessed with eating things that are only healthy, very
Also, I
much
feel like
like
gymnastics is also probably
it's tough.
you wear things that people like it's not a lot of clothing. I would, it's understandable.
And especially as you get older, it's not like,
And you hit puberty.
well, yeah, gosh, yeah, you hit puberty and you get older and you feel self-conscious and you're a girl and you're growing up and you need to look a certain way
And you're getting weighted on it.
because you want to look a certain way, but also because you're gonna do better if you look a certain way. You
That's
are
so
constantly being
messed.
fed the
Yeah.
information that your lines, they would always be called your lines. Your lines are so important in this. Your lines need to be better. You need to be more elegant. And what that is you need to be skinnier. You need to be thinner. You need to look more trim. But you also need to be able to lift 200 pounds. You also need to be able to be the strongest person in the entire room, like,
Make
and
it
be
make
thin and
sense.
beautiful. Make
Make
it
it
make
make
sense.
sense.
So I carried that a lot with me, especially in that year before I was diagnosed, because I couldn't stop the cravings. I couldn't stop eating. And in particular, there was one thing that I could not stop eating, and it was those carrot cupcakes with the cream
Oh
cheese
my God,
frosting
I love
from Trader
those.
Joe's. Oh my God, they were so good, and they were in the refrigerated section, so you know that they're good, right? Like they're
They're like
delicious
as
and
fresh as a
delightful.
Trader Joe's fresh can be.
Exactly.
Except I love
And
Trader Joe's. That's
exactly.
no hate. It's just reality.
Mm-mm. It's just reality.
I'm curious. So you get this diagnosis. I'm gonna have to like start a new meeting session. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do
It's
want
okay.
to hear a little bit more if you're okay, because this is gonna end in like 5 minutes. But so you get your diagnosis. You're still on track for the Olympics, right? Like what is going
More or
through your
less.
head?
So, kind of at that time, I was doing so poorly in training. And then I saw myself as compared to the other athletes at that camp. And I was like, there's no way. There's just no way. And part of me was like, there wasn't enough time to think after that camp of like, can I even make it at this stage? Because I got the diagnosis the next day. But like after the diagnosis, I was like not even thinking about the Olympics anymore.
Right.
It was just so far from my mind where I was like, oh my God, I could die at any minute. And now I have to learn all of these things, how to inject yourself, how to take your glucose, like what do these numbers even mean? What's the difference between a
Right.
bolus and a basal and all of these different things, and like Googling, just diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, now what? And like all the beyond type 1 like infographics coming up, and like everything on the internet being very, very, very helpful, but also being this onslaught of information and
And it's
an entire
scary.
vocabulary that I don't know about.
Oh, yeah, the vocab.
And I'm scared.
Yeah, and you're keeping
And I'm
yourself
very scared.
alive.
And I'm
I
very
feel like that's
scared.
the piece that always like, okay, yeah, you're learning, but it's not like you're studying for a test. The test already happened. It's retroactive. The learning is retroactive. And I feel like that is one of the hardest things to cope with and to understand unless you have a chronic illness that's kind of been thrust upon you. It's something that you're still retroactively learning. It's like you can never catch up.
Yes.
It's just it's and it's honestly,
Yeah.
but once you I feel like once you realize that, it kind of helps you let go a little bit, because that's something that I've always struggled with in figuring out that like your body's changing and something that worked for you yesterday doesn't mean it's going to work for you today, but all you can do is try and get as close to what's healthy for you without beating yourself up. And like I can't imagine being I'm a competitive person, but I'm not like a sports competitive person, and I just really can't imagine when you're life is already filled with numbers and scores, like it would be being a professional athlete, also having to, synthesize all this information with a disease that also has to do with numbers and scores. Like, what's that like psychologically?
Psychologically was very, very, very difficult because on top of that, the carb counting was super triggering for me. I spent years after, so more backstory. In 2016, I was training for the Rio Olympics. I ended up breaking my ankle like the day before Olympic
Oh
trials.
my God.
So that was really, really bad. And I wasn't in a good place leading up to that already. And I was already very control freak about my food and about my body and all of these things. And that continued after I didn't make that team. And then the massive depressive episode that comes from that trauma, and had worked very, very, very hard to be different for this Olympic quad. And so it was very much, I'm not going to be counting carbs. I'm not counting calories. I'm not paying attention to those things. I'm just eating what is going to fuel my body and make me feel good. And now I have a doctor telling me, well, there's 40 carbs in this, and there's 60 carbs in this, and there's da 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 da, and you need to find the secret carbs. And I was like, I spent my entire life finding the secret
I
carbs.
know where the secret carbs are.
I
They know
know where
where
they
I
live.
am. Like, yeah, that's so
And
rough.
so that was really tough. Now it lives in a piece of my brain that is separate. It's not, it's the emotion of it has been taken out of it just by sheer necessity of like, I actually will. Another thing, I don't carb count anymore. I look at something and I look at it and I calculate it based on units of insulin. Like I look at a
So
plate of pasta.
you're subconsciously carb counting, but it's not a number that you're getting off of a plate that has to do with
Exactly.
worth of the food. It's just a medical necessity that comes out of that. Like
Yes.
you're
So I'm
looking at
looking
it in terms of
at,
units.
exactly. I'm looking at the plate of a chocolate cake, knowing that that's going to be 7 units for me. Or instead of saying that's, I don't know, 60 grams of carbs and like, or whatever it is. So that's been very helpful for my brain.
Oh yeah, and the Olympics.
Oh, her. Yeah.
Olympics is a her. We gendered the Olympics.
Obviously.
Well, yeah, I
Of course
mean,
we have.
kind of catty, let's be real, but
She's a little catty.
and stressful.
So stressful, a little catty. Love her. She has her things.
Wait, are you so okay? So clearly, I didn't do enough research. I was like, oh, I already met Charlie. She's 23. So
am,
I
yes.
basically okay. Also, for context, we met at a dinner with Dexcom like a minute ago. And with your very lovely partner, and we honestly were just kind of like, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I definitely didn't learn enough from that conversation to not do my homework. So that's on me. But I feel like I learned more about Lori, to be quite honest, because it was
It's
so
fair.
freaking funny.
That dinner was so funny. And you know what I remember specifically? Because it was yourself, and then it was two other people who also worked in media at the table, somebody from Dexcom and another guest of the night. And we were laughing and having so much fun and being so candid and just kind of shooting the shit that at one point of time, one of the three of you goes, I just need you both to know that all of this is off the record.
Oh yeah, it wasn't. I doubt that was me. I mean, I actually know that does sound like me.
I don't
Because
think it was you.
okay, no.
But it was hilarious. And I was like, both Laura and I looked at each other and we were like, oh my God, we forgot.
No, wait, I do think it was me because you, I remember Lori said something and I was like, you guys, like, yes, 1,000%, but also as someone that has gone for scoops before, like, you can't. I just felt like it needed to be said. I remember this now. It wasn't, Lori didn't say anything like bad, but I don't think it was something that I was something I could totally see being a headline. So I was like, no, let's not. And once you
Which
say it,
is,
everything's off the table. So just felt like it needed to be said. What can I say? I'm a
we're
martyr. I hope my
you
boss doesn't hear this.
you really took one for the team. No, it wouldn't have even been a good headline. I can't remember what it was, but it
No,
probably
it
would have been
wouldn't have been
bad.
good for, yeah,
No.
no. I mean, I think it was something about the Olympics that, or not the Olympics, about
Probably.
gymnastics that we were talking about that, like, we just don't, let's not get into. This is about diabetes.
I have that. We have diabetes.
Yeah, we both do. Lori does not.
Lori does not have diabetes, but if she got it tomorrow, and we joke about this a lot, if she got it, she would be a pro by
My twin
default.
sister, yeah. So my twin, I'm fraternal. My twin Laura has been on the podcast before. She's pancreatically capable. We don't hold that against her. She is, I keep wanting to like find a nice diabetic person to set her up with because I just think she would be the
The ideal.
ultimate partner of a diabetic. Like I just feel like she know I lived with her for 6 years after my diagnosis. Like, I mean, yeah, we're twins, but she's like one of, I mean, out of my families, you probably get this as being diagnosed as an adult. Like it's kind of harder for your parents to learn when they're not living with you. And she just really understood it. Like she still really understands it. So, are there any single fellas out there that are looking for someone
I
in New
will keep
York?
this so deep
Matchmaker
in
here.
my mind.
But I totally keep taking us off on tangents. Anyways, so we met at this Dexcom dinner,
Oh yeah, yeah,
LOL.
yeah, yeah.
And I didn't do my homework, so I'm throwing myself under the bus. But you did you not compete in, so like what happened? You broke your
Okay.
ankle before Rio. You got diagnosed in during the, I don't even remember where the Olympics were.
Tokyo.
Thank you, Tokyo. So yeah, you didn't go to Tokyo.
I went to Tokyo as the Olympic alternate. So
Okay,
trampoline
there
is
it
a
is.
team of one, which is obviously very
Sorry.
competitive. I know.
The
It's a team
team
of one.
of one. No, it was your face, and I realized that no one else can see your face right now. So it's just like extra savage me laughing at you for being an alternate while you're going through this huge trauma. Which we're all gonna
Okay.
need therapy after this episode. So thanks for listening, listener. But
It's
okay, so
true.
you go to Tokyo as the alternate. In the midst of having this chronic illness thrust upon you and finally figuring out what the F is going wrong with you. I like how I censored myself there, but I've been cursing out the wazoo for every other word. And so, okay, so you're in Tokyo.
I am in Tokyo, and obviously it's a COVID games. It's not very fun. And then alternates don't get to be in the Olympic Village with everyone, so you're very much just like extra separated from everyone because you're already not on the team or like in the competing team.
Right.
So you're separated and it's COVID, so you're
Extra
isolated.
separate. Honestly, though, that's probably the safest place you could have been.
It totally was. And me and my coach took it very seriously, and we were like this is the most unpredictable Olympic Games that could ever happen. Being an alternate in this realm of like life right now is just,
That's probably
it
the most likely
carries
time that you would be needed.
exactly. So we took that very seriously, and we were gonna have like a cute little like celebration when I got back from Olympic trials and before we left for the games, and it was gonna be like a send off for the Olympics, like everybody, very normal, like whatever it was. And then somebody at the gym got COVID and we canceled it. And like we were very, very, very careful,
Cautious, yeah.
very cautious, especially then with the diabetes and not knowing what that means for me personally. And just
That's something that I feel like everyone doesn't. I never did my full diabetes with COVID. I keep saying I'm going to do a full episode on it, but like for me, I actually landed in the hospital. I had to go to the ER when I was first, tested positive because I actually started going into DKA, like at the very beginnings of it. Just and my blood sugars were completely fine. Like I thought I was killing it, but also I had a high fever and was like not fully conscious
Oh,
for the first 3 days.
crazy.
I got hit really hard and it was
Wait, how did you know you were going into DKA if your blood sugars were okay?
so I threw up.
Okay.
I was what okay, so it was January 1st, 2023. I'm
Okay.
like, I did not drink enough to be hungover. And I tested positive. I tested myself. I was like, my throat feels weird. Something's off. I tested positive. I immediately separate from my boyfriend in our one bedroom apartment, lol. And
Capable.
yeah, it's totally doable. Actually blessed though, because we actually do have a decently sized apartment. So it could have been so
That's
much
nice.
worse. But
That's nice.
I mean, it's like still a one bedroom and it's really not that big, but I just
Girl,
was
I
like,
get it.
everyone has it worse, you know, wherever they are, different times of life. Anyways, I'm spiraling, but all this is to say that, and then I was like not doing that poorly. And then, like 12 hours after I tested positive, I fever spiked up really high. I literally was just sleeping, so I wasn't eating, and I started getting starvation ketones. And I didn't realize that that's what was happening. But I was just so concerned with keeping my blood sugars in check during all of this that I was like, okay, I'll just have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I didn't want to go too carb heavy. And I was eating and I was sleeping so much that after 48 hours, I just wasn't able to hydrate enough. And I got prescribed Paxlovid because I was like, I was actually really like my fever wasn't breaking. It was like all this stuff. And I threw up, right? Like I literally swallowed the Paxlovid and threw it up right away. And I was like, oh my God, is this because of the Paxlovid? Like, am I having a reaction to Paxlovid? And then I checked for ketones and they were high. And I ended up, the doctor was like, go to the ER. So I went to the ER, but it's New York and you can't just go into the ER when everyone has COVID. So you can, but you're going to have to wait an hour. And I was throwing up in the emergency room and I was like, literally so concerned. I was obviously wearing a mask, but there were all these elderly people because it was flu season and you know, it's the winter in New York. And I remember telling the nurse, I was like, I tested positive for COVID 2 days ago. Like I'm really sick. I can't I'm gonna throw up again. And they just gave me a bag and they were like, just go sit there. And I was like in the corner and I was like, that's next to two very elderly, frail looking people. Like I have COVID. And they were like, we don't separate for COVID anymore. Like that's 2021. We haven't done that since like whatever. And I was like really concerned about getting someone else sick because I was having such a bad go of it. And you never know what cross someone else is carrying, you know, like it's the whole thing. And I guess so they went to like triage me after a certain amount of time. And I guess my blood pressure was like all over the place and same with like my heart rate and I threw up and they immediately like rushed me back and my poor boyfriend like they had to like find him because he like they
Oh
separate
my
you to get
God.
your like all this stuff and I just remember they like left me they wouldn't let me have any water or anything but it took them so long to get to me that my ketones got way worse so they couldn't find a vein and I was just like poked and prodded, but I was also like kind of unconscious. And I just remember my boyfriend trying to tell the nurse, like after like 45 minutes, he was like, she has diabetes. Can someone come see her? And the nurse goes, what does that have to do with anything? And Matt, I've never seen this man lose his cool before, but he's the gentlest, kindest, chillest dude. He literally just he was just like he couldn't speak. He was in shock. And I literally had like a 102 like fever. I was like unwell. And I remember like opening my eye and just being like DKA. And then like I passed back out. And they next thing I knew, like they like came back and like actually tried. And they were like, why can't we find a vein? And like all this stuff. And I'm like, I wonder why. Like I had to go through
God.
3 bags of fluids and like it was a whole thing. I was there for like 12 hours, but I'm so lucky that I had really great care. They actually, though, they checked me out before my ketones were flushed, and my
Okay.
endo was like so pissed off. She was like, if they're not gone, because I went home, I was like, if they check me out, like people need beds. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm not in charge. And she was like, you need to go back to the hospital. I was like, I'm not going back unless like I'm throwing up again. And she's like, okay. Need to check for ketones every, you know, like 3 hours. And then in the morning, if you're still, you know, you're still bad, go back. And
Oh
the
my
ketones finally abated
God.
after all of that time. But it was like so traumatic. And I know it could have been worse, but like I just feel like the way that I view COVID since then, like I'm freaking terrified. I got it again 5 months later and I wasn't that bad. But that was last June. It was actually when my grandma died. It was a rough 2023.
Girl, that's tough.
I mean, at least I didn't miss the Olympics. Like
We're not comparing
always
trauma, no.
worse. Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. There's enough trauma to go around if there's anything I've
There's
learned.
more than enough to go around.
But all of this
Yeah.
is to say that, like,
COVID and diabetes.
every time I hear someone's story, like, there, you know, it's ever evolving. We're where we're at with this disease. And, you know, what's good today may be bad tomorrow. What's bad today is certainly going to be better tomorrow. And, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. So I feel like at least you were separated for Tokyo when, you know, I'm sure COVID ripped through the village at certain points. Like,
It didn't. It
oh
didn't.
my
It was the
God.
most,
Well, Tokyo has it figured out.
well, yes, and the process of getting to Tokyo was intense. It
Right.
was so intense. So we got sent like our ho like home. What is that? Not the antigen test, the PCR test. You know, those like the ones that are really hard to get. So we got
Yeah.
sent, you get sent four of them before you leave for Tokyo. You have to do a live call with somebody while you take the test, and they read the results and they log them in. And you had to do that a few times before you actually got on the flight. And then when you landed in Tokyo, you had like a 4 hour processing of like going through all the check-in things. Everybody's separated. You're technically not like whoever you deplane with is your pod. And if any single one person tests positive with that, the entire pod is quarantined and you're not allowed out of the airport. And
Did
so like
anyone, did that happen to anyone?
not at the airport. I think one girl on the US gymnastics team, she was an alternate. She tested positive once she was in Tokyo, and then but nothing happened. Like she had no symptoms. She just tested positive. Like I don't know how she would have gotten it, but we got tested every morning, every day. You had to go and turn in your sample and like you had to be wearing a mask constantly. You were only allowed to go to, there was three approved places we were allowed to be, and that was the hotel, the training gym, and like the high performance center where you would get like medical treatment. And we were only allowed to go to those places. So it
So you
was
didn't see Tokyo.
no, I did not. I saw it from my window and I saw it from the bus.
Yikes, but fair. I mean, so you made it as an alternate. And what are your plans now? Like you didn't get to perform, right? So you were there as an alternate. I mean, we're happy for this person that they didn't, you know,
Of course,
sick or hurt
absolutely.
themselves, but you
Of
know.
course, absolutely. Like she ended up doing really well. She absolutely earned her spot. She was on fire that year. She earned it. Like she, I think she did the best that any US woman has done. So like she did really well. Thrilled for her. Obviously bummed that I never got to compete. I
Or leave the
realize now
ground.
that my tone of voice is probably coming across as like, girl,
No.
you're full of shit, but
No,
like,
I believe
I mean
you.
it.
I
No, I
fully
mean
believe
it.
you. You're a better person than I am. I fully believe
I've
you.
had a long time to think about it.
That's fair. That is fair. So what does the future hold in this? Because I last we talked, you're not doing professional anymore, right?
Correct.
Competitions.
Correct. So right after the Olympics, I retired in a like very abrupt manner. I was like, there was a lot of things that happened just leading up to it. Like the Olympics is already a crazy thing. USA Gymnastics can be a really intense world to be a part of. And by the time that was over, on top of all of my health things that had just happened, I was like, I have got to get out of here.
Right.
I
Like it's
really
not
need some
serving you
time.
anymore. It's
It
not
was not
serving you.
serving me. It was not serving me. And I was like, okay, I need to, well, I still need to figure out diabetes. Like
Right.
it's been 3 months. I've been diagnosed for 3 months. And I finally have a breath. Like in those 3 months, I went to three Olympic trials. I went to Italy and I went to Tokyo. Like that's a lot. That was a
And
lot.
you were still training.
And I was still training and I was still trying to figure out my numbers. And like I had I and I didn't have a good care team. So I
Well,
was
yeah, and you were
really
also
trying to figure it
traveling,
out
like
and
traveling so
traveling
much and
during
time
COVID.
differences. And we all know if you have, if you are on any type of insulin therapy, you usually end up needing different rates of insulin at different times in the day. And if you're going to all these different countries with different time differences, it's, and then you're expected to perform at the top of your abilities while you're also probably still honeymooning. The honeymoon phase is like when your pancreas is still maybe secreting a little bit of insulin, but it's basically when you're adjusting to this new life. I just can't imagine, having all of those pressures on you and keeping yourself alive, like,
And
being
it
in
was
public.
really hard.
Yeah, and being like in a very public spot, like people are looking to you to perform and people are looking at you to see how you're holding up, because I think one of the biggest parts of sports is psychological. Like it is,
Oh my God, 1,000%.
it, and this is coming as someone who literally has never done a sport a day in her life, like except for elementary school
Your
basketball.
observations are very cute.
Thank
They're
you.
like,
I've gotten to interview some really cool people in different fields. So that's helped me realize, but also like watching sports on TV, like just the things that people say really to me are just wild. Like I can barely run a mile. Like why would I be like, oh, she should have landed that? Like what the F do I know? Like I truly don't know anything. And I just think if we can't walk a mile in someone else's shoes, which you'll never be able to do, like who are we to judge? So the fact that you had to handle all of this in a very, center stage and at the peak of your career and, well, the peak of your performance part of your career, is just, I think you handled it so well. And I think it's, beautiful that you're on this other side. And now you are teaching, right? Teaching some kiddos gymnastics thing.
That took a long time to find that and even to want to be remotely in that world again. But that's been it's been really fun. So I, in the meantime, moved to New York and from California. That's where I was born and raised, and moved out here and just like literally started a new life from scratch, which is at
Not
times
easy.
terrifying
Yeah.
and rewarding.
Well, all my friends left the city now, so at least some other people
Listen,
here. You got that.
we're gonna have to link up. Like
Something no one
it's a
tells you.
lonely life.
Something no one tells you when you turn 30, like you either have friends that are in it in the city for the long haul, or they've all left. And my older sister's friends are all in it for the long haul, and all of my friends left literally
That's
within the
tough.
past
That's a
like
tough
6 months.
spot to be
I mean, I'm blessed to have my sisters here and my niece, and I still have like plenty of friends here, but it's humbling nonetheless. Like,
It's a hard thing. Like, God, loneliness in your 20s, late 20s. Well, just adult loneliness.
well, also we're changing constantly, and we're expecting people to change with us, and that just doesn't happen all the time. It can happen, and when it happens, it's beautiful, but sometimes it doesn't happen, and that's okay. Like, I do really think that certain people are meant to be in your lives at certain times, and that can include your pancreas pals, diabetes, which usually tend to last a lot longer because we all have this trauma bond that is diabetes. But like, I'm assuming the same is in the gymnastics world as well. Like these people really, you guys, bolstered each other, kept each other up, and got each other through these really intense times. But then when you come out the other side, it's not a bad thing if it doesn't continue. Like you're not having that continuous trauma bond anymore, so you find you have less and less in common, but that's just a new life stage. Which is why it's like when I moved to New York, I joined JDRF's Young Leadership Council Committee, whatever, and I met Miriam, who's one of the co-hosts for Pancreas Pals there, and she's, like she says, my diabetic big sister. And like have this whole life and friendships through that that I never really would have had had I not had this horrible disease. I would have never met you at a Dexcom event. I would have never met like all these people. So I do think that there's a silver lining.
Definitely.
I've gone on a tangent. I don't even remember. There was a point at some point, I swear.
Well, life continuing on after whatever the things that we thought we were going to do for the rest of our lives
And oh, I
are.
was going to ask you, do you have any kiddos with type 1 that you do gymnastics with?
I don't. I not at the moment. I mean, I get like a lot of messages from parents of kids who specifically are in gymnastics, but really in any sport. Because kind of now, when you like Google type 1 diabetic gymnast or type 1
Gymnasts,
diabetic athlete,
athletes, yeah.
I will pop up and I check
So
my
we know
DMs.
who's Googling herself.
Shh.
No shame in the game. Listen,
No, I
we
Google
all do
myself.
it.
I pretend that it's necessary for work and it's not. I
No,
do
it
it
is.
because
It is.
I need to keep up with the
It
keep up with
is. If you're
times.
ever in the press, like, and literally you have like partnerships and stuff, like, yes, it is important. So people reach out to
Regardless,
you.
I do. I'll also like YouTube old videos of myself and be like, wow, those were the glory days. And then I'll be like, yep, can't do that anymore. Because it's all trampoline stuff, right? Like I kind of like look back at all of that and have the perspective of what when people would come up to me and be like, God, that's crazy. What you're doing is so crazy, or like you're very good at this thing. And I could never understand what they were saying. I was like, this is just what I do.
This is a
I
part of
like do
me.
this
Yeah.
is just it's just like step by step I've gotten here
Right.
over the last 15 years, 20 years. Now I have the perspective of, oh my God, that was crazy. I like look at old videos or remember past experiences and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that
Yeah.
was me.
Yeah. Like I mean, here I am thinking like, okay, 3 months, like no, 6 months after I was finally correctly diagnosed, I decided to study abroad in England, which, like, okay, not the end of the world. We all speak English. We got our language from them. But I was like, I don't know how I did that. Like, I was just diagnosed. I just started my insulin pump, like all this stuff. And I mean, I really do feel like I don't know how, like, I am very surprised in how I handled that entire first year. Considering faking it till you make it is literally the first however many years of diabetes, like that should be the tagline. But meanwhile, you're like competing and going to all these different countries. And like, were you on multiple daily injections? When did you get? Are you on an insulin pump? Like, what's your vibe for that? Because in CGM, continuous glucose monitor, like, are you teched out?
So I use the Dexcom G7 and that's my tech. I do MDI. I consider going on a pump. I still think about it every now and then, but I'm so like my skin is so sensitive and I like get
Yeah.
reactions to the adhesive so often. And then like I just hate having things on my body. And the G7 has been transformative for me because it's so small and it's so simple and easy to use. And like
This is
you
not
put it on
sponsored
so
by
quick.
Dexcom, so
Not,
no one think
no,
that.
this is not, this is
This one's
not.
not. It's not.
This is very, very, very genuine. That one has helped me so much because like the way you put it on, it takes me like 20 seconds. And the old one, I don't know why, but it would take me like a good like 5 minutes. And to me, that makes all the difference.
Yeah. Well, the
But yeah,
G6 is
so
bigger.
the G6 is bigger, it's more visible, it's like just kind of clunky. I
There
mean,
are pros and
also,
cons to
look,
each. Yeah.
there are. And I was having adhesive reactions to the G7 at first, but I got those under control. So it's like there, it was a whole thing. It's
Any
always a
hacks
thing.
for that? Do you like spray Flonase or something?
I started doing that. It worked a little bit. And then honestly, I think I kind of got my like seasonal allergies under control, and then it became
Oh,
winter, and then my skin kind of calmed down in like
yeah.
so many different ways that that is kind of what helped for me, but no like specific hacks.
Gotcha. For those who are wondering what I mean by Flonase, I know some people will, and I've never tried this, so take this with a grain of salt, but we'll spray Flonase, which is an antihistamine situation, onto the skin, let it dry, and then apply the adhesive of the Dexcom. So it, in theory, should help with any type of
Yeah.
issue.
Keyword, key phrase in that is the let it dry part.
Oh no. It's crazy how adhesive doesn't stick to liquids, right?
Oh, isn't that such an obvious thing that one should know?
No, because I feel like I would be tempted to pat it dry, but then that might also take it off. So like I could
See,
totally
that
see
was
how that would
my thought
be.
process. So
Yeah.
I was desperate trying to do this when I was using the G7. I sprayed the Flonase on and I waited like maybe a minute, but it was still like wet to the touch. And I was like, yeah, that'll do it. And then I put it on and my transmitter just slid right off my skin. And then I had a
Yeah, I would too. I mean,
meltdown.
listen, even no matter how much insurance you have, like this stuff still is not free. Great
No.
products still cost a pretty penny, along with insulin, along with all the stuff that we need to keep ourselves alive. So if something doesn't
Yep.
work out, I have been known to have a mini meltdown, or as Miriam, who's one of the lovely Pancreas Pals co-hosts, she likes to call it a mini pity party, and it's okay to have those. She likes to remind
Oh
me.
yes.
It's okay to do a pity party. Just don't let it last for days, you know?
I love a pity party.
Oh,
It's
me
one of those
too.
things I actually tell Lori, my partner, where I'm like, I am looking for pity right now. I need you. I need you to go, oh my gosh, that's so hard.
Wait,
I
I feel
need,
like we need to get
I
Lori and Matt and other partners of diabetics into a
I
support
agree.
group because I totally stole this from my friend Betty's now fiance Sam. Like he called it back before they got engaged, because it was just him and Matt, but boyfriends of diabetics. So we called it the BODs. And he's like, you know, I'm looking to add people to the BODs. I'm like, okay, it needs
A
to be the
serious
PODs.
thing. It's
Partners of
a right.
Diabetics, not sponsored by
Right.
Omnipod. But
Oh, good one. Could
honestly,
be though. Could get
yeah,
sponsored.
Omnipod, hit me up. Always looking for sponsorships. But so shameless. But I think that, you know, that was going to be my final question for you. Really kind of because you were diagnosed with an established partner, like you and Lori had already been together. I'm really curious to hear how, you know, I've seen y'all's bond. It's like, I love it. I'm here for it. It's so cute. And clearly she is involved in diabetes and she's helping support and not just, you know, the emotional sense, but also like showing up physically and going to events with you. And as someone who, you know, doesn't have a chronic illness, when you do, I mean, I always feel like a burden half the time, but that's my own stuff. So like, I'm curious when you were going through these changes in your body, and when you finally got the diagnosis, like how was Lori in that? Like, was I mean, I'm sure she was great, but I guess my question is more of like, how do you feel that shaped your diagnosis?
Oh my God, it was. It was a crazy, crazy, crazy time for both of us. So, for context, she was also training for the Olympics at that time.
Right.
And her, like, I mean, enough said, that's a lot of stress on a couple to have two individual people training for the Olympics
Yeah.
living in the same apartment, let alone dating. And we had been dating officially for about 2.5, 3 months when I
Oh
got
my what? I think it
diagnosed.
was years. Okay, again,
Isn't
listener,
that
I didn't
crazy?
do research.
Is it no,
So
but I mean, also, it's not like super, it's not, I don't think it's out there like when we first started dating.
yeah,
Like,
that would be really creepy if I just like Googled that and that came up.
actually, there's an entire timeline that you can see on People Magazine.
That tracks. I've
Yeah.
had to edit stories on, you know, relationship or like cancer timelines and stuff like that. That's just the
Yeah,
media
that's
world
tough.
we live in today.
Isn't it crazy?
But okay,
But
so
anyway, back to the point. Getting diagnosed. So dating for about 3 months, but I get the call. I go into the apartment. I had texted her because I remember sitting in my car and being like, I actually just don't know what to do. My parents had moved out of state. My mom left the day before. Like,
side.
it's literally like if you kind of look at all like the timing of events in my life, it's like it's comically cruel. So at these moments,
You know,
comically cruel.
if you believe in a greater power, sometimes it's times like these that you really just think of sense of humor, you
Sense
know,
of humor gets you through it.
gets you through it.
Retrospectively, I think in that moment, I wasn't even thinking about like the gravity of anything. But like looking back, I'm like, that's crazy.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. So my mom had moved away. Both my parents have moved away. All my siblings are also out of state, and they are my main support system. Lori and I live together. Well, not officially, but like basically live together. Come on, come on. We're gay. Things move fast.
Good to know.
and I got the call. I texted her, like, probably after sitting in my car, like, in silence for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dr. P called. I have diabetes. And she just texted me back, shit. And then I walk into the
Iconic.
apartment and I walk in and I was like, I don't even know what to say right now. Like,
Yeah.
and she kind of just stood there and was like, okay, well, what's next? Like, what do we do now? And it was very much like a, we are going to tackle this together. What are we going to do about this? And so I woke up at like 6 o'clock the next morning because I was waiting for a call from the office of when to come in the next day. And I was like, well, I don't want to miss the call and I'm scared. So I was sitting up in bed at 6 in the morning and she was like, do you want me to come with you? I can come with you. And I was like, no, like, you don't have to come with me. It's going to be so early. Like, and then I
And you'd
finally got
also
the
only been
call.
dating for like 3 months, so
Exactly. Like coming to a doctor's appointment, kind of a big deal.
yeah.
I mean, like, of all the people in the world that I would have wanted to be there, top person. Also, I
For
think my
sure.
headphones just died. I'm gonna put
It's
one
okay.
in. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay, so top person that I want to be there. Stressed, not wanting to make my burden her burden now, also knowing that she's training for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then I remember like frantically getting dressed, getting the call and being like, can you be there in 30 minutes? And I'm like, I live 30 minutes away. Yes, I can be there in 30 minutes. Sure. Getting dressed and she's like, well, I can just sit in the car. Like I'll just go with you. I'll sit in the car. And I was like, okay, that I can do. And then when we get there, I was like, will you just come in? Maybe you can sit in the waiting room with me. And then she comes in, sits in the waiting room. And then like I get called back to go back.
Right. Do
And I look at her and I was like,
you
did you
just want to come
come?
back with me? Yeah. I mean, it's a
She
huge
did.
diagnosis. Oh, I love that.
She
It's
did.
on
And
your
she took
Dexcom.
notes and she is
She
my
took
only Dexcom
notes.
follower. She took notes. Well, I'm
Yeah.
sobbing. Like in this appointment, I'm a mess. I'm
Oh,
sobbing.
my mom was sobbing on mine, and I mean, I was crying, but I feel like I was also like worried about her. That's so great. I mean, not great that that happened, but great that she was able to be there, especially during
And
Olympic
then she
training.
like came to my she came to my first endo appointment that I had like a week later. She took the notes and she made sure that we got all of our questions answered that we came like prepped for. She asked questions when I didn't, and she kept track of the information, and she looped my parents in and like all of the amazing things. Like, and then she learned how to be diabetic with me at the same time. So it was like very, very, very helpful to have like somebody to be confirming information at the same time. I'm like, okay, I think that I should take this now, but what if I don't take this? And she's like, well, let me look it up too. And like we'd both find new information.
That's
And
amazing.
so it's like, I remember I went to a diabetes camp for adults
Was it like
up in
Slipstream?
Maine.
What's it called?
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
Slipstream. It was with Connected in Motion and it was
Yeah.
awesome. And they hired me to be the photographer because also side note, I now am a photographer.
I need new
And
headshots.
oh
I'll
yeah,
hit you
cool.
up.
Yeah, no, send me an
No,
email.
you do
Anybody
more art.
listening need headshots?
She does more art, like artsy stuff too. Like you do cool
No,
stuff.
I also do headshots. I just don't post about that much, but headshots are great.
You mean you don't like having random glamour shots on your Instagram page to
Crazy,
share with people?
crazy.
That's
Funnily
weird.
enough. But yes, so I was their photographer and I met this group of girls that were incredible, women that were incredible. And we were talking about our partners and Lori had come because she just wanted to go to Maine. So she just like putzied around while I went to this camp. And then we all like connected afterwards and we all got lunch and we got ice cream, I remember. And we were talking about like dosing for it and whatever. And then they were like doting on her of like, you know so much. Like, what would you dose for this ice cream? And she goes, well, you woke up kind of early. And then we walked around town for like 2 hours. And you did have a cider earlier. So that's probably going to affect your glucose later. So, like, I would probably take 4 units. And, like, the group was sitting there in like shock. I
Honestly,
was like,
MVP. MVP.
MVP, literally,
I
best
mean, let's
diabetic
not take
partner.
away from you doing the work,
But
but
Lori
it's
walks the walk.
incredible. It's incredible to have someone who meets you there. I think
It's
that's the
true.
important part of it.
True. So true. And takes the mental burden anytime in any way that she possibly can.
Yeah, I
Like,
think sharing the load is like the hardest thing to learn how to do in a relationship. And it's definitely something that I've been with Matt for 5 years. I think 5 years next week, maybe.
Oh, happy
And
anniversary.
thank you. Thank you. And it's something that, you have to learn together because you are two separate beings who are,
Now
purposely spending time.
cohabiting
Yeah, like
and
choosing it. And I think that, like, I mean, for me, it's very important for me that I know that I'm the sole person in charge of my diabetes because I always get this like weird burden feeling out because I've had not great boyfriends in the past who have made me feel like I was putting them out by having this chronic illness. But I really like one of the ways I knew instantly like Matt was such a gem is like he's never once really like acted like something was any way just on me. It's very much meeting me there. Like, okay, you need a minute, let's take a minute. Like, Let's not even, we don't even talk about it. Let's sit down. Like, we've been walking for 6 hours. Like, let's, you know, I think you need, it's time for you to have some food. Like, no, he, I mean, I'm atrociously hangry person with or without diabetes. So I think he's like very much scared of me in that regard, which, you know, I kind of feel bad, but this is real. This is me. But it's really is about, you know, everyone has their stuff and ours is just beeping and, you know, we'll let other people know that we have the stuff, but nobody's perfect. And having a partner that really realizes that is just icing on top of the cake, for
Oh
lack of a
man.
better, which we can eat, by the way.
We can eat, damn it.
We can. Okay. Now that I've gone on like 10 different tangents and checked my blood sugar like 60 times while you were talking, I think it's time to wrap up. So, as always, thank you so much for listening, guys. Follow the one and only Charlotte Drury. That is literally how you can find her on Instagram at Charlotte Drury.
There it is.
There it is. And follow us on Instagram
You
if
can
you can
also
bear
Google
us.
me because I'm also doing that.
Yeah, Google her, look up her relationship timeline. Follow Pancreas Pals on Instagram at Pancreas underscore Pals. Follow us on
That
Facebook,
too.
Pancreas Pals PP. Slide into our DMs. Email us at pancreaspals123@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys, and we are always down for new ideas on who we should interview and what we should talk about. Charlie, thank you so much. And guys, we're going to plan a meetup. So
Yeah,
get
New
ready.
York City diabetics.
Yeah.
And partners potentially unite.
Pods.
Pods.
There it is. All right, guys, have a great week.
Goodbye.
Bye.